Welcome to Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday. With your host, Jaguars.com senior editor Vic Ketchman. Jaguars Monday on News Talk Radio WOKV is brought to you by Community First Credit Union, Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Baptist Health, and by Ticket Exchange. Now, here's your host, the always happy, always positive, always effervescent, man of a thousand smiles, Vic Ketchman.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Jaguars Monday. I am Vic Ketchman, and I just got back from, just got into the studio a few minutes ago from writing my first day after the game press conference story of the season. Jack Del Rio had a later than usual press conference, Monday press conference today. I'm not sure if that's going to be the new hour for this season. I hope it's not. I hope it's a little earlier in the day. But anyhow, I got it done. Here are the headlines, by the way. The story has been posted on Jaguars.com. The headlines are, offense must play better. 12 points is not enough. Not enough production. We must be better across the board. We must be better on offense, Coach Jack Del Rio said at his press conference today. And I think everybody, even as players, would agree that the Jaguars' offense has to be better. The coach didn't absolve his quarterback of blame for yesterday's 12-point performance. Jack Del Rio said that David missed some receivers open down the field. He referred to Nate Hughes, who was wide open in the end zone. I believe that was a late second quarter. Certainly, in the first half. Hughes was open, and Garrard didn't see him in time and therefore couldn't get the ball to him before the defender closed on it. Coach Del Rio also referred to Troy Williamson open on one occasion and Garrard missing him, not seeing him, whatever. Another headline, Hayward lost for the season. Reggie Hayward has sustained what I believe to be is a broken fibula. He got that in the late stages on that fourth down stop. In fact, he got tangled up in the pile, so to speak, in the wash, and unfortunately broke his bone in his lower leg. I think it's the fibula, and he will have surgery or is expected to have surgery on Friday. It's a season ending injury, but Coach Del Rio said it should not be a career ender. Boy, I hate to see that. Reggie Hayward is a guy I really like, not only as a football player, but as a person. I told him that on the plane ride on home. The guy was sitting right behind me, and he was in pain. And it wasn't just all physical or all mental. It was a lot of physical pain in there, too. So I hope he's feeling better today, and he can get this surgery behind him and then start feeling a lot better after that. Now, what I'm feeling good about right now is that I have with me my Wednesday Jaguars This Week sidekick, Jeff Loggeman, on the phone. And Jeff has spent the day in tape review, film review, whatever it's called nowadays, looking at what the Jaguars did right and wrong. And Jeff is going to tell us what they did right and wrong. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Vic.
How much time did you spend today? Whole afternoon?
Well, I got there a little bit late today, probably at 10:30, and I watched the Jaguars game until about 1, maybe a little bit after that, and then got a quick bite to eat and then went back in and actually watched the Arizona Cardinals tape until about 4:30.
Okay, I'm going to ask you some point-blank questions.
Bring them on.
That's right, to get the real information out here. And I assume this is going to be, I expect this to be an explosive show. I expect fans to want to call in and get their questions in because they've got their questions from yesterday, their concerns, et cetera. And you're the guy who can put them to ease. So let me get my shots in first. First of all, David Garrard, how'd he play?
Not good.
Tell me about it.
I think it's two part. For one, he didn't play as well as he should have. Understanding that, you know, he's not going to have a lot of protection when you've got a young tackle and Eugene Monroe blocking a Dwight Freeney. So I mean, obviously Freeney had an impact on how much time David had, and I think David's performance. But at the same time, as a quarterback, you got to be aware of that. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to go through your progressions a little bit faster, a little bit quicker, and get the ball out, knowing that pressure is coming, whether it be from Freeney or whether it be from Mathis.
Did he miss open receivers?
Well, yes. I mean, the one that I'd heard you mention, the Nate Hughes thing, and it was very similar to the touchdown that Reggie Wayne had over Derek Cox. Okay, you remember that play pretty well?
I sure do. In fact, I know exactly what happened there because I viewed the tape, too, of that play. It was cover three, and Reggie Nelson came up and did what he was supposed to do, which was to roll up and support against the run, and it was Derek Cox who bid on the play-action fake.
Right. Okay. And just a little tease, typically on Monday, I'm on my way to do a television show, but because of Monday Night Football, we're actually going to be doing Jaguars All Access tomorrow.
Okay.
And one of the plays that I'm going to break down on the smart board is the play in which Derek Cox was involved in that Tony Dungy did not illustrate properly last night on Sunday Night Football.
That is correct.
It's inexcusable for a former head coach to be on national TV and to not be correct.
Well, no, wait. I want to stop you on that. You know what it is now he's in the media, and you know you're in the media, and you have to ask the right people. There's only one person who knows. In fact, there's only one team who knows.
That's right.
And that's the team that's calling the play.
That's right. And I think what Tony just kind of assumed, because when Peyton gave the play-action fake, mm-hmm. he pointed out Reggie Nelson as coming up. Well, Reggie Nelson's coming up whether there's a play fake or not, because he becomes the eighth guy in the box in the coverage that they call.
Cover three.
Derek Cox actually cheated up, and he shouldn't have, mm-hmm. and he's a deep third player. A deep third player never cheats up.
Well, he shouldn't have cheated up because Reggie Nelson was rolling up.
Exactly. I mean, you've got the extra guy right there in Reggie Nelson, so as Derek Cox should have done, he should have stayed back. But it's a young player mistake, eager to come up and make the play. But anyway, that play that Reggie Wayne scored on a great read by Peyton Manning, by the way, and a great throw, was much the same as that David Garrard had an opportunity with Nate Hughes, in that the Indianapolis Colts had a rookie cornerback that was starting in that game, Jerrod Powers. And on the particular play that Jack Del Rio had mentioned, Jerrod Powers was the corner to David's left, and Nate Hughes is the one who runs a vertical route. And Jerrod Powers, because Nate Hughes had somebody to the outside and who ran a short route, Jerrod Powers stopped on that route, not respecting his responsibility first, which is the deep third. And so Nate Hughes was running down the field wide open, but David was late in recognizing it. But even with the late recognition, I think the thing that was disappointing with it is that if he had thrown the ball more towards the middle, mm-hmm. because the safety that was the middle player had cheated over to the other side, mm-hmm. if he threw it away from Jerrod Powers, he still had time.
Right.
He would have liked to have seen a little bit quicker recognition and maybe the ball more towards the middle. And then, I mean, you're talking touchdown.
Right.
You know, so you know, things like that were disappointing. And I think that, you know, and Vic, you and I both know this team is not going to survive having Maurice Drew have 25 touches a game for 90-something yards.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not going to work.
He won't last.
No, he just won't last. I mean, nobody can be that durable.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're going to spread around, where does the ball have to go through?
Mm-hmm.
It has to go through David.
Right.
So David has to be better, you know, for this offensive football team to start being more productive. But, yes, to answer your question, David could have been sharper. At the same time, Eugene Monroe had a terrible day. But the fortunate thing for him is that it's not going to get any harder.
Mm-hmm. No, Dwight Freeney, and you know, and it was kind of a self fulfilling prophecy, or at least a prediction by Eugene Monroe. I asked him last week what he considered Dwight Freeney's signature move, pass rush move, to be, and he said very quickly, spin move, and I could tell that there was an element of anxiety in Eugene's voice when he said it. Well, yesterday, he got the spin move.
I mean, he stopped one time.
He had to see the spin move in his nightmares last night.
Yeah, Eugene didn't stop the spin move. You know, and all great pass rushers have a main move and a complement, whereas one kind of looks like the other. So speed spin, bull rush, chop swim. I mean, all the great pass rushers have the moves that complement each other. Reggie White had the power rip, and then if the guy was overplaying on the power rip, then he would do the hump and he'd throw him out of the bar. And Dwight Freeney is one of the great pass rushers, and he's got two core moves, and they complement each other well. And Eugene had a very bad day at the office. But now, on the other hand, I thought Evan Britton had a very solid day.
Mm-hmm.
There's two plays that I can think of that he gave up some pressure on. One of them was the last play of the game on fourth down,
mm-hmm.
And then the other one was early in the game on screen play. He you know, obviously on screen play, you kind of want him to chase the quarterback, but not as fast as he had allowed it early in the game. But anyway. Two young tackles certainly can help David out if they play better as well.
Okay. We have to go to a break. I want to get this in before we go to that break, Joe. I want to make this prediction. I think the Colts and the Jaguars play again on December the 17th. Now, that's the game, and it will be here in Jacksonville, of course. That's the game by which I am going to judge Eugene Monroe, because he will have had a whole season, rookie season, under his belt. And the second time around against Dwight Freeney, that's when I think we're going to get a look at the real Eugene Monroe. With that, let's go to a break.
All right, Victor, thank you very much. Jaguars fans, vote for your community favorite teacher of the week. That could be the Community First Credit Union Teacher of the Week. Your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game. That's all part of the First Down Touchdown Teachers. Just visit communityfirstfl.org for all the details. Vic and Loggy will be back. 355-6351 is the number to talk to him. 355-NFL1. You're listening to Jaguars Monday on News Talk Radio WOKV. Jaguars fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, foods, drinks, and a whole bunch more. Stop by Gate today. You're listening to Jaguars Monday with Vic Ketchman and special guest Jeff Lagerman. Victor?
I'm ready to go. Jeff, you ready to go?
I'm ready, Vic.
All right. We got 10 minutes to finish up here before the break at the bottom of the hour. And my big question, I got two big questions for you, and I think you know what they are. Number one is... How did the 3-4 go? What are your thoughts on that? I'll tell you that I'm not sold, but I want to hear your thoughts on it.
You know what? When the game was going on in the first half and they were really struggling on third down, I was like, boy, I said they're trying to do too much, because they dabbled in the 3-4 and then they did the 4-3. And then all of a sudden the second half came around, and holy cow, what a different defense in the second half. You know, I think the Colts were 5 of 6 or 6 of 7 on third down in the first half, and then all of a sudden the defense got vastly better in the second half. And I think Indianapolis only converted like 2 of 6 if you discount the one of the kneel downs or whatever in that game. But to me, I thought it was real good. It was real solid. But, you know, Vic, the thing that impressed me the most is not so much the defense, because I don't care what defense you run. It's a matter of how the guys are playing, and how are they playing hard, and are they playing with great effort. I was as impressed as I've ever been watching the defensive tape, as far as watching the Jaguars, just because, I mean, I saw some really strong performances in the tape.
The fact that they were so strong in the second half, they were so good in the second half. Hey, Derek Harvey didn't play much in the second half. Is that why they were good?
Not well, I don't know. And obviously, I think that's a question that you could probably talk to. I haven't talked to the head coach today. But it was definitely kind of strange when we were in the radio booth and you're not seeing Derek Harvey in the second half. You know, and you alluded to Reggie Hayward's injury, but that's a big blow.
Yes, it is.
That is a big blow, because Reggie Hayward was one of those defensive ends that could rush the passer, and he was their best pass rusher at this point. So you're talking about losing your best pass rushing defensive end on the defense, and so that's not going to be easy to replace. Now it'll be interesting to see what they want to do. Will Derek Harvey kind of go away from that linebacker role to kind of take in or move into that spot that Reggie had? I hope so. Because, Vic, I'm not seeing James Harrison, you know, or Woodley
uh-huh.
in him.
No.
But maybe you might be able to hopefully see some Kiesel, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. What do they do, Jeff, in attempting to replace Reggie Hayward as it pertains to personnel, as it pertains to scheme? What do they do?
Well, I think the only thing that you're going to be able to do is to take maybe a Derek Harvey, because James Wyche made the team. I don't know how. And I'm not trying to offend James Wyche, but I thought there were some other people. But you know, you got some tackles that can play in. I think Derek Harvey can play in that position, and I think it may be the position that he's best suited towards. And then Quentin Groves becomes more of a true, you know, stand-up 3-4 linebacker, you know, because Quentin Groves got all the reps, you know, and then that second half. And I don't know exactly why. Did the head coach talk about that today?
No, Jack is very evasive when it comes to schematic stuff. When it comes to strategy, you know, you're not gonna get much out of him. You're not gonna get anything out of him. And I can remember not getting anything out of Chuck Knoll either. It's just the way these guys are. He was asked today, and it is in the story. He was asked about whether he was happy with the team's execution of the 3-4 defense, and he kind of answered the question by asking himself the question. He repeated the question. He said, am I happy with the 3-4? And then there was this long, pregnant pause, and he said, I'm happy with the corrections we made today. Well, that is not a ringing endorsement.
No. and you know what, Vic? I don't like that kind of an answer. You know, just because
it lacks commitment.
I mean, you got to go with it.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you do, you got to believe in it. In my opinion, but you know, there were two guys that that really I thought stood out in that defense, and they were the backers. Justin and Darryl were simply outstanding. And I think one of the big reasons for that was, hey Vic, Terrence Knighton's pretty damn good.
Oh yeah, he really is. You know, Jeff, I asked myself today if I was Mel Tucker, if I was Jack Del Rio, if I was the guy making the call on defense about what they do going forward without Reggie Hayward, what would I do? And immediately I thought in terms of this 3-4 they're using, where they were lining Derek Harvey up, opposite the slot receiver, which I do not understand the logic to that at all, but what the heck, I'm not a coach. So I asked myself, what would I do? And thinking along those lines, I was thinking that, well, I would put Derek Harvey, I would return Derek Harvey to a defensive end position, put his hand on the ground, along with Henderson and Knighton, and then put Quentin Groves in that stand-up position that Harvey was in. The problem with that is, I mean, you don't have much beef on the field. I mean, you're going to get snowplowed with the running game, especially when you play the Titans.
No, I don't think so. And Reggie Hayward was a 280-pound guy, and then I think Derek Harvey was right around the same thing, and Big John Henderson and Terrence Knighton are they're 330-pounders.
Okay, you know? What I'm proposing here, you're okay with that. Harvey puts his hand on the ground, and he becomes an end, and Grove becomes that stand-up guy over the slot receiver.
I think so. I mean, I think it's going to give you your best combination, and also you can in that 3-4 at the end spot, you can also play Derek Landry. You know, you can play in the T. Ellison at that end spot. You know, these guys are all 300-pounders. You know, so it's not like you're going to be, you know, extremely light up front with those guys possibly mixing in there as well. So, right now I think the one thing that you got to start looking at, and we obviously haven't talked much about this, I think Brian Ewell was a really good football player. Mm-hmm. And he got some snaps on the defense yesterday. And so Ewell was a good football player. And can you find a way also to maybe get him on the field if you're running 3-4? Yes. You know, the bottom line is, Vic, right now, they really don't have a premier pass rush, and that's what is going to hurt this defense the most, I think, this year. Derek Cox, as I thought, you know, you read pick up the newspaper today and you say mixed results. Watching the tape today, I didn't see anything mixed. What I saw was a good football player that had one play that I thought that he made a mistake on, and that was the touchdown pass to Reggie Wayne. But the other long throw to Reggie Wayne was a jump ball, and he was in position.
You know what I said, I wrote in my column today, Jeff, is that he's going to keep Rasheem Mathis from making the Pro Bowl. Do you know why?
Well, he's going to get more balls.
Rasheem isn't going to get anything thrown at him. He's not going to have any interceptions.
You know, I thought Derek was fantastic. My feelings on his performance is not even close to being mixed. I thought he was real strong. But, I mean, you've got two good corners like that. The safety position, I thought Reggie Nelson played well.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he did some real good things coming up, stopping the run. You know, so the only question mark I think that you got with this defense is, you know, where are you going to get pressure from? I mean, who's going to be a consistent pass rusher? You know, we were expecting Quentin and Derek to do that, but, you know, the fact of the matter is that maybe those two guys were overdrafted.
Yeah.
You know, that's the case, which obviously it appears to be that right now, and hopefully that won't be the case.
Oh, wow, you just swung for the fence. I mean, you just hit the home run, and we only have, you know, like 30 seconds left before we got to go to the big break, you know. But, I mean, that's now starting to become very apparent that these guys are not the pass rush future for this team. And if that in fact is a fact, then it's going to be a bitter disappointment.
Yeah, I hope I'm wrong, Vic. It's only one game, and I'm not ready to declare that. You know, print it and run the copies. You know, distribute all the news. I'm not ready to do that yet. But you know, you got to see his production at some point. We've seen four preseason games and one regular season game, and we haven't really seen it yet. And I'm ready to. You know, I'm ready to see these guys break out and all of a sudden turn into, you know, 10 sack a year guys, because this football team needs it.
Thanks, Jeff. You know, of course, we'll be with Brian on Wednesday, and of course you've got your TV show with tomorrow with Coach Del Rio, right?
O'clock tomorrow night on CBS 47, and it'll be me and not Brian Sexton. Brian will be doing the coaches show. We actually have the new sports anchor of CBS 47 co-hosting with me, and we will have the rookie quarterback Derek Cox on at 7 o'clock.
Oh, that's fabulous. Thanks, Jeff.
Okay, Vic. Okay.
You going to take us to the news, Joe?
I'll take you out.
Thank you very much.
All right. Jaguars fans, this fine program with Vic Ketchman is brought to you by Best Buy. Remember to stop by the new Best Buy in the St. John's Town Center. Your chance to talk to Mr. Ketchman is coming up. 355-6351. 355-NFL1 is the number you're listening to Jaguars Monday right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. I don't know, Jeffrey. Sometimes you just can't stop those weathermen. Fans, here's your chance to get free Jaguars merchandise. Just make JaguarSearch.com your new online search engine. Every search is a chance to win digital dollars that can be redeemed for great prizes. It's just that easy. Make JaguarSearch.com your home page. Real easy to get a hold of Vic Ketchman, too. 355-NFL1. 355-6351. Outside the calling area, you know you got a guy hanging on from Canada? Good. 1-800-355-NFL1. NFL1. Victor, the con is yours.
Thank you, Joe. Week 1 is in the books, folks. And, you know, it was a loss, but it's not that bad. Look at it this way. The Jaguars yesterday, with four rookies in the starting lineup and a team that has a completely new face from last year, a team that is undergoing a major facelift all year, gave us 60 minutes of football. The outcome was not decided until the final seconds of the game, and I like that. As opposed to, I've covered teams in rebuilding years, and you don't even have your halftime hot dog digested, and the game's over in the third quarter, and you know you're just hanging around waiting for the end so you can go to the locker room, talk to a few people, and come back up and write your story. That was not the case yesterday. I mean, we were in our seats. All of us watching a game that wasn't decided until the final second. So I applaud that. I applaud the players, the coaches, and I know you want to win. Well, everybody wants to win, but this is what it is, and it is rebuilding, Joe.
And, you know, you had an Ask Vic questioner online, and it was interesting what he said, and I liked your answer as well. But he said, not that he was happy they got the loss, but had they won, some people may have thought that, okay, let's talk
change.
Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He's happy just to be viewing and here for the rebuilding.
Hey, you have to know, I think my answer was, Coach Del Rio gets paid to have the high expectations, and with high expectations, of course, comes high disappointment. He gets paid to deal with that emotion, that swing of emotion every week. We don't, the fans don't get paid. So I think they need to be a little more rational about this, understand where this team is and what it's going through, and therefore they don't have to deal with swings of emotion.
Let the coach worry about that.
Let the coach deal with that. As I have said, if you call this show, I will get you on the air. I am consumed with that, with respecting the calls you make here. So We're going to start on that right away, and we're going to start with Robert from Pensacola, who wants to talk about Derek Cox. Good evening, Robert.
Hey, I was wondering who Derek Cox is going to cover on the Arizona game, and how do you think he'll do against whoever that is?
Well, I think that he's going to stay at his right cornerback position as opposed to flip-flopping. The bottom line is that these teams are going to find Derek Cox wherever he is on the field. That's what, you know, he's a rookie, and he's got a target painted not only on his back but on the front of his jersey, too, and they're going to find him. They're going to do whatever it takes to find him. The main thing is, as far as leaving him at right corner, I think the thinking is that at least put him in a position where he is comfortable. He is comfortable with the technique that goes with the position. He is comfortable with the boundary being on his right side. If you put him on the left side, that which is the premier cornerback position, and you put him with the boundary on his left side, all of the technique reverses. It all changes. So if they're going to find him, if they're going to somehow funnel their best plays at him, and he's going to have to defend against the team's best personnel and best plays, at least put him in a position where he can do that, where he is most comfortable. With that having been said, he saw Reggie Wayne in week one. That's the Colts' premier receiver. He's almost certainly going to see Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, and, of course, Anquan Boldin is a premier receiver, and Steve Breston doesn't leave much to be desired. So he's going to get whoever he gets against the Cardinals, and it's probably going to be a heavy dose of Larry Fitzgerald. He's going to get a good guy. He's going to get a great guy. If it's Fitzgerald, he's going to get a great receiver to have to defend. And then look what's on the heels of that, Andre Johnson. So his first 3 weeks in professional football will have amounted to Reggie Wayne, Larry Fitzgerald, and Andre Johnson. Welcome to the National Football League, Derek Cox. What would you All think? Right. What would you think if you were him? If you were him?
I'd actually be kind of happy. You get to start off hard, and you ain't going to get much harder.
You know what? You won't hear me refer to these three games as measuring stick games for Derek Cox. You don't measure a rookie cornerback much before the second half of the season, if at all, and you certainly don't measure him against this kind of competition this early in his rookie season. Thanks for the call, Robert. We have Donald from Toronto, Canada, who wants to talk about Derek Harvey and Quentin Groves, and that's good, Donald, because I want to talk about them too. Hi, how are you?
Not too bad, Vic. How are you doing tonight?
Good.
Good. You answered my question in the column today, so I figured I'd follow up with a call tonight. So I guess you and Jeff were talking about Quentin Groves and Derek Harvey earlier on in the program, and he had sort of concluded as you were going to break by saying that perhaps these guys were maybe overdrafted.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can sort of agree at this stage or not. I mean, it's still early in their careers, but the question I kind of had for him, but I can give it to you as well, is have you seen much sort of development from either of these players over the course of the preseason to sort of show us that maybe they'll be doing a little bit more this year than they did in the past?
No, I haven't, Donald. And I'll tell you what my concerns are, especially as they pertain to Derek Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
Quentin Groves isn't a big concern for me because I don't like the fact that so many draft picks were traded to move up to draft both of these guys. But Groves isn't so much of a concern for me because when he was drafted, it was not with the idea that he would be an every downs player. He was drafted to be a pass rush specialist, and therefore the expectations changed dramatically. But you see, Derek Harvey was drafted to be an every downs defensive end. He was drafted to be a premier pass rusher. He was drafted with a top 10 pick, the 8th pick of the draft, to be this team's star, defensive star of its future. Now, here's what concerns me most about Derek Harvey. This is the number one thing. If you watched yesterday's game, what you saw was a time in the game where the Colts went after him with the run. I mean, they targeted him, and they went to it and to it and to it. That runoff left tackle, they ran right at him down on the goal line. Now, he came around the backside of one of those, ran around the block, and made a tackle for a loss. But that's not how you play. That's not how you play it when you're an every downs defensive end. Every downs defensive end has to be a guy who can take on, stand up and shed and defeat blocks and make the tackle. And I haven't seen any of that from him. Haven't seen any of that at all. And what I saw yesterday was a team that it was number 32, dead last in the league in rushing in the preseason. Couldn't rush it at all. And even though they only, even though they ran for a mere 70 yards in the game, they were very successful at running in conversion, third down conversion situations. And it was especially when Derek Harvey was in the game, they ran at him. And that bothers me, because if he can't play the run, he can't be an every downs defensive end. And that's what he was drafted to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's my major concern. He's got to be able to do both, rush the passer and defend against the run.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you said. And when I kind of look at it, and then I look at the sort of experimentation with the 3-4, and there were some other formations last night where they were going to sort of extra defensive backs, it just seems like with some of these elaborate formations that we're experimenting with, it's just because maybe we're trying to cover up the fact that we don't have the personnel to run, you know, our base traditional defense.
I couldn't agree with you more. Clearly, they are trying to do things with smoke and mirrors. And here's a classic example. There was a point in the game yesterday where the Jaguars had 7 defensive backs in the game. The Colts saw it, and as soon as they saw it, what did they do? They ran the ball over and over and over. I mean, you're not going to pencil whip coaches in this league. You're just not going to do it. I mean, you can defeat them with personnel, but you're not going to pencil whip them. They're just, all these coaches are too doggone good. They can see very quickly what you're trying to do, and they will defeat it with their own schemes. So, Donald, thanks for your call, and keep reading Ask Vic. Joe, is it time for a break?
It is time for a break.
Oh, good, Joe.
Gotta pay your salary, Victor.
Oh, yeah.
Jaguars Rewards Program is your ticket to discounts and savings from a lot of merchants around the Jacksonville area. Save on things like Jags gear to Monday savings offers at your favorite restaurants. Just visit jaguars.com/rewards for more information. Victor will be back. Don't go anywhere. Keep it right here. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Hey, gang, you can enter to win $50,000 toward your new home with Prudential Network Realty's Take It to the House drawing. One winner will be chosen from each home game. You and a guest could win tickets, a parking pass, a chance to win $50,000. Just log on to PrudentialNetworkRealty.com for all the details. This is News Talk Radio, WOKV, Jaguars Monday with Vic Ketchman.
Welcome aboard for the final 10 minutes or so of Jaguars Monday, and we have a couple callers who've been on the line, and let's go right to them. Let's start with Tony at the beach. Good evening, Tony.
How you doing, Vic? Great show, by the way.
Thank you.
Vic, I was thinking about the support for Maurice Jones-Drew, and my understanding is Marvin Harrison is still out there, and a combination of Marvin Harrison and Torrey Holt would sure be nice, don't you think?
He's a used-up old man, Tony. It happens. It happens. I mean, these guys get old, and once they go over the edge, the best way to read that is he's still out there. If somebody thought he could help them, he wouldn't be still out there.
I agree.
You see, I mean, these are the most expert evaluators of football talent in the world, and 32 teams, personnel departments, which are probably going to average somewhere around 10 guys per person, 8 to 10 guys per personnel department, 32 of those departments, multiply 32 times 10, you know, 320 guys have determined that Marvin Harrison is not worthy of a National Football League roster, so how could he possibly be a difference maker for this team?
Yeah, I guess I understand. I just thought, you know, maybe I'm just dreaming that, you know, one on each side, and then
you like the name.
I'd like to think he still has a little speed.
No, he
but,
doesn't.
If that's not the case, then no. Then maybe we shouldn't go with it.
When the speed goes, it's over. You know, I probably one of the top five questions I got today was, you know, why not put Trey Thomas in there? With Eugene Monroe having such a bad day, why didn't they put Trey Thomas in? He'd have changed it. Unlikely. You know, Trey Thomas is another guy who's He's long of tooth. He's been in the league a long time. He's been a great player for a long time, but time takes its toll. And Trey is a guy who has a bad back, and I think you know the rest. It's time to move on. And as I said earlier, don't judge Eugene Monroe by yesterday. Judge him by the rematch against Dwight Freeney on December 17th. Then you'll know what you have going forward. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you so much, Vic.
Sure. Let's talk to Don in Lafayette, Louisiana. Don, good evening.
Good evening, Vic. That's Lafayette, Indiana.
Okay, Lafayette, Indiana.
And we came up here exactly to see the game. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you one thing. Incidentally, with reference to your last caller's thoughts about Harrison, I saw on Indianapolis TV last night, they interviewed Tony Dungy. He said, no, they wouldn't go for it. And he made this sort of a wry remark about, besides, there wasn't that much money. And then there were three other commentators, and everyone agreed, and they were all Indianapolis people like yourself. So they all agreed that, no, Indianapolis would have no need for Marvin Harrison. They were moving on.
Hey, you know, it's a cold game. Let me paint it this way. This game is so cold that a few years after Marvin Harrison was one of the top receivers in the league and one of the great receivers of all time, Pierre Garçon has been judged to be a better player. Did you ever think that the Colts would prefer to throw the ball to Pierre Garçon than Marvin Harrison?
I would have.
And that's the way it is.
About,
that's football.
Vic, what I actually called about was what it's like up here. These people were very worried about this game. One commentator remarked upon being, now they're satisfied that the Indianapolis Colts are not even what they were at the beginning of last year. They're happy about the fact that they're not starting zero hand, but except for that last series, the last series in which we had a chance and just failed to do it. They didn't know what was going to happen, and they were very relieved when it came out like it did. Peyton Manning stated that it was a very rough game from his point of view, and he had a lot of work to do. So we've got. I'm looking forward to the next game, and I think. I think that Jacksonville kept me on the end of my seat.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, they gave us a full game. My expectations for the Jaguars going into this season were not real high for this season. They are real high for the future, real high for the future. When you have four rookies in your starting lineup on opening day, it doesn't say much for this year, but it sure says everything about the years after this year. I can tell you this, I didn't like what I saw in the Colts. Of course, I never really like what I see in the Colts because they're soft on defense, and that's not my thing. But what I saw of the Titans last Thursday against the Steelers, I mean, they just manhandled the Steelers. They just beat the poop out of them up front. The Steelers had like five or six third and one, fourth and one jobs, and they didn't get back to the line of scrimmage on any of those thrusts. They didn't even have to measure. That's how dominant the Titans were. The Titans' defensive front was on none of those third and one, fourth and one thrusts by the Steelers. Did they even have to measure? I believe. To find out that they didn't make the first down. In my opinion, the Titans are so physically superior to anything in this division that they're going to march through. They very well could go 6-0. And of course, Kenny Britt now he's the game changer for them. He gives them a completely different face. They now have a deep threat to go. So I'm going to have to wrap it up. So do we have one? We're out. We did all the calls, right?
Yep.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Got everybody in.
I want everyone to know that if you call this show, I'm going to get you on, and you're going to be treated. You're going to be treated with respect, and if you, of course, treat me the same way.
Hey, real quick, let me ask you something quick.
Yeah.
With the Cardinals losing to the 49ers, as a fan, am I reading anything into that? Hey, we should
Well, the 49ers,
have a good time this weekend.
From what I understand, had a really, really solid defensive effort. But it doesn't say much about the Cardinals that that's how they would begin their defense of not only their NFC title, but of their NFC West title. That was a division game. That was a major setback for them. They're going to come here this weekend with a very, very strong focus. Thanks for listening to Jaguars Monday, everybody. See you next week.
You've been listening to Jaguars Monday with Vic Ketchman, brought to you by Prudential Network Realty. This is AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV.